Welcome to the Start Over Coder podcast. I am the Start Over Coder, and I am taking you along on my quest, taking up a new career as a professional developer and pursuing financial independence. And hey, I've got a big announcement to make, so stick around at the end of this episode to hear it. But first, today's episode is about my first attempts as a freelance developer. So at the start of this year, I set a goal for myself to have my first paid developer work by the end of June. So I should be making some kind of cash by the end of June. And you can go back and listen to episode 50 if you want to hear a bit more about that goal and my other goals that I set for the first part of the year. But since then, I have been working towards accomplishing this. We're now nearly in June, so I've got some stories to tell. And this is going to be in three parts. So the first attempt that I had was joining Upwork. So if you're not familiar with Upwork, it is a website where freelancers can go and get work because people post jobs there, whether it's short-term, long-term, or anything really that they need help with. And it's not just for web developers, it's for designers, coaches, you know, all sorts of different work is available on this site, but it is one that is looked to regularly for developer work. And I've met and heard from a good number of people who have used it to kind of start their freelance business or do freelance while they're traveling or something. The long-term prospect, you know, there are mixed reviews about this site in general, but on the whole, what I've heard is that it is a fairly good start. And actually, somebody who listens to this podcast even recommended it to me. So I thought I'd give it a go. I went on the website just to see what was available, saw that there were a fairly good number of short-term jobs that I could comfortably complete. You know, they weren't too far beyond my skill level and I would be interested in doing them and it would be good experience. I figured that I would go in at a fairly low price, build a reputation, which is what a lot of people advise you to do. And then as your ratings are good and as your number of jobs increases, then you can grow from there and increase your prices and sort of build a business that way. So I filled out the application, which was basically like setting up a LinkedIn profile. It asks a lot of questions about your skills, your background, your education, where you are, very, you know, somewhat personal details. But really what they're trying to do, I suppose, is vet people and make sure that the people who they have on there as freelancers are legitimate people and not crazy and not going to swindle any of their customers. So long story short, after filling out that application, I got rejected from Upwork. So I didn't even get the chance to do small projects, start small, and grow from there. I was rejected flat out. And the reason that they gave for it was that there are too many freelancers with a similar skill set, which makes sense because it is, you know, relatively easy and accessible to learn how to code. And the first thing you want to do when you learn how to code is make some money, right? So I'm sure on Upwork, they are just flooded with people sort of at the beginner / intermediate level as developers. And so, yeah, they rejected me. So I would say as a tip, if you do find yourself wanting to apply for Upwork, definitely give yourself a specialty or highlight one particular skill set that's going to make you stand out from all of the others, because it does appear that there are quite a lot of developers out there. And yeah, you don't want to get rejected like I did. So my second story, the next shot, was a call with a potential client. And first of all, the fact that this even happened in the first place shows just how much your network and the people that you meet and talk to really, really does matter. So I made a friend going to a few meetups. So we'd kind of met once and then we'd see each other again and again, and we built a friendship. She was actually working as a freelance web developer and had been for a while. So her business was pretty established and she got an inquiry on her website, didn't have time to do it, and knew that I was trying to start freelancing and building a business on my own. So she passed on one of her inquiries to me, which was amazing. I was so grateful for. And yeah, it really does show how the people that you meet really can help you along the way. So when it came time to actually speak to the potential client, I did a lot of preparation for the call, you know, listing out all of the things that I wanted to accomplish. So figuring out what the project goals would be. I set a checklist to go through of all of the requirements just to really narrow down and firm up what the project would actually be. I, you know, on the list was also talking about maintenance and the timeline and all of these things. I even practiced how I was going to conduct the call and what I would say. And yeah, I was at the end of all of this, I was definitely a bit nervous, it being my first real client and all, but I was ready and excited to do it. And it really did turn out just to be a really bad project in a really funny way. It's nothing against the person or the project, but it just came together and came to me in a really funny way. So first of all, it was requested as a microsite by a fashion designer. So I kind of made some assumptions about what I would be working on, maybe a single page landing page. Maybe it would be a site with, like, you know, up to 5 pages, something really simple to show off this fashion designer's designs and looks and things, because it was pitched as this is a holdover site while I'm working on some things and then I'm going to launch a much bigger site later on down the line. So as I said, I did a bit of prep for the call, but it's also important to mention that this was a month after my details were passed on to the person. So the inquiry came in, my friend told me about it, she gave the person my details, and then I waited a month before I actually heard from them, and no contact was made in that time. So we get on the actual call, and it turned out not to be a microsite at all. It was really interesting, but not at all what I had assumed and what I expected. So it was a site that needed to accept charitable donations, process those as contest entries in a contest, like a giveaway that they were going to do. And then for those contest entries, there also needed to be a way for a person to get more entries into the contest if they then share the link and someone that they share it with donates. So it was a huge, huge project. It wasn't like a static microsite. It would need a lot of back end to it. And the kicker was this person needed it delivered in a week. I think it was like 9 days at the most. And this, by the way, like I said, is after not having heard from them for a month. So overall, I very politely declined the project, which to be honest was a lesson in itself. You know, knowing what to accept and not to accept is an important thing to know. And I mean, it was not that hard because it was a huge order for 9 days and it wasn't even paying that much, but it was my first real client and it would have been great to have had that experience. But knowing when to not jump into a project, I think it's a good skill to have. And that's definitely something I learned in this second attempt. So that leads me to the third story, which is my first actual project. Now, full disclosure, it is for my mom, and I'm not asking her to pay me, but it is still a legitimate project, and I'm definitely treating it as such. So she has a small business that she actually started a few years ago and has been doing sort of on the side for several years now. And this year, she retired from her full-time job, so she's putting a lot more time and attention into the small business and wanted a website to really reflect all of the services that she does, but also have a level of polish, shall we say, to her website to go along with, you know, it being really a substantial project that she's working on. So I'm still working on the project now, but I've been going through the same preparation and same process that I would for a stranger, even though it's my mom. So we had an initial call to determine all of the requirements. I basically have gone through, if you listen to episode 56, it was all about how to prepare a new web project. So I've basically been going through all of those steps either by myself or the parts that need to be with her are with her. I also prototyped the website. So in episode 62, I talked about the tool Figma, which has been super great in coming up with a look and design for the site. So I'd recommend going back and listen to that episode 62 if you want to hear more about that process. But basically setting up a prototype so that I could get client approval before actually starting to write the code. So in this whole process, I've definitely learned some things which have been great. So one big bottleneck in getting the work done has been the content. So we agreed up front that I would not be writing any of the content because I'm not a copywriter. And as of today, I'm actually still waiting on quite a bit of it. And this is a bottleneck. It definitely slows down the whole project. So one thing I've learned is that in the future, I will ask for the content up front so that things don't slow down, or at least identify the timeline so that everyone's on the same page if there are delays due to not having copy to put into the actual site. The second thing I learned is that approved does not necessarily mean that there will not be changes later on down the line. So for example, we had a prototype of the front page of the website. Got it all signed off. It included a logo that was the brand name of the business and coded it all up. And then later, oh no, we actually need to change that. So that was a big lesson. And by the way, I have definitely been on the other side of both of these at work. I worked on a project with an agency where we were building a website and we did exactly these two things. The copy that we were supposed to provide ended up being really slow to get approved, so that was delayed. And then of course, we had changes that we wanted to make to the look of the site well after we had approved it. So I'm not saying that those things are bad or inhuman, but it's just something to be aware of going into the project. And another lesson that I've learned is that working in milestones is best. So I noticed that I have a tendency and an urge to share a work in progress along the way. It may be because it's my mom. I think it actually may, that's very likely possibly why, but doing that just generated more work because every stage that I showed, it was like, oh, we should do this, we should do this. So I think working in milestones where a lot of work gets done and then it's all reviewed at the same time may be a better way to work in the future. And also setting firm dates on those milestones will keep both sides moving, I think. And then finally, another thing that I've learned is just how great it is to see how much time it actually takes me to do these things. So in the future, when I do start working with other clients who are not my mother, I can have a much better estimate of what to charge because I know how much time it takes me. I know how much time it should take someone to do the different tasks, and we'll get an idea about what is going to go into a project before I start them. And one thing that I hadn't thought about before was including time that's not spent just coding. So including time in my estimate for the calls that we're going to have or for any training. So for example, I'm building a custom CMS content management system for this website so that she can add content in the future, even though it is a static website. And that's going to take a little bit of training. It is very straightforward, but that's going to take some time. So just knowing to account for things that are going to take time besides just the coding is not really something I had thought about before, but now I'm glad that I've learned in going through this process. So overall, I'm really, really excited to have this first freelance project about 75% finished, I'd say, at the moment. It's great to have something substantial that is ready to go for my portfolio when I start working with other people. And honestly, maybe in the future, having done this, I can get accepted to Upwork, which clearly I wasn't good enough or experienced enough before to do. And so, yeah, I definitely look forward to having more projects in the future. So that is going to wrap it up for this episode. As always, you can leave a comment directly underneath this episode at the startovercoder.com website, which you can find a link to in the show notes, or of course, you can always tweet me at startovercoder. But before we go, I have a big, big announcement to make about the podcast. So I have decided to end the podcast at 75 episodes. So that means just 4 more episodes to go after this one. The reason I've decided to do this is because I got the really, really good news that I will be going back to the UK in very, very short amount of time, just a few weeks. I am so excited for it, but that also means that I will be with my current company for the foreseeable future just because of the visa and contractual obligations for the relocation, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's going to be a lot less to share about actually taking up a new career because I will still be in my current career. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop pursuing financial independence by any means. And it definitely doesn't mean that it's over for coding. I definitely love it and plan to continue to keep doing it and have some other plans coming up for the year. So more about all of that will be in the final episode, episode 75. But overall, I am going to stop putting out weekly episodes after that one. So with that in mind, I'm really looking forward to the next few episodes to wrap up some things, share some more tools that I've learned and come across. And the one thing that I really want to ask for your help on, episode 74 is going to be an Ask Me Anything. So if you have any questions for me about anything that you've heard in any episode of this podcast, definitely send those over to me. You can email me at startovercoder@gmail.com. You can tweet them to me. I'm at startovercoder. Or of course, you can comment beneath this episode on the startovercoder.com website. I've really, really enjoyed the interactions that I've had with many of you listening and would love to bring some of that into the podcast itself before I wrap everything up. So please do get in touch if you have any questions that you'd like me to answer in the Ask Me Anything in episode 74. And if you like what you hear and want to stay with me on this journey for just a little bit longer of learning how to code, starting a new career, and pursuing financial independence, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. You can do it through your favorite podcast app or visit startovercoder.com/subscribe for a list of options. That's all for this time. Signing off.